Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I know I did, and a lot of food. It was great to spend time with the family. But you know, after the holidays, one of the things that you realize is just how fortunate you have it. As a matter of fact, David Dominguez on point with Meals on Wheels, absolutely great program. And so, actually joining the show right now is Mike Settle. How you doing this morning, Mike?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, so you got an event, an opportunity for people to give back and participate in helping Joy Junction next Saturday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you got going on?
Well, I'm the president of the Porsche Club here in New Mexico, and I go to Cars and Coffee pretty often. In fact, I'm on the way there now in a few minutes.
Awesome.
Over off of Jefferson near Paseo. And the thought came across my mind that we ought to go for a drive as a group somewhere, and then, of course, the question is where. So Joy Junction is always in need of food and all that. So next Saturday, we're going to drive out. We're going to start at Cars and Coffee, and we're going to take a drive out to Joy Junction, and we'll line up about 9:30, going to leave about 9:45. The address is 7600 Jefferson Northeast. That's right by the Starbucks there. And what we're asking people to bring is frozen turkey would be good, cases of bottled water, or any cans of food that they can find. Institution size is preferred, but they'll take anything. Good time to clean out the cupboard and get that stuff out of there. And then, of course, backpacks of any kind with school supplies would be good. And naturally, tax-deductible contributions to Joy Junction are also welcome. So we're hoping to get a good turnout, good lineup, and just take a little run out there. It's all paved when we get there.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about the Porsche Club. What kind of events do you guys do locally?
Well, every month we have a social, dinner somewhere, maybe a luncheon. We do autocross every month, either out at Route 66 Casino, or sometimes out at Sandia Raceway. We have just various tech things that we do together, just a host of things. We did a drive out to the Buddy Walk not too long ago with the Down syndrome kids. There's about 3,000 people there. And so we like to get out and drive the cars. That's one thing about Porsche folks, they actually drive them.
Absolutely. I mean, they're meant to be driven, and
That's right.
It's good to have an excuse to get out and do it. And so you guys wanted to kind of create a challenge for some of the other car clubs, to challenge you to raise money for Joy Junction. Talk a little bit about how you kind of reached out to the car clubs.
Well, this is for all cars. This is not Porsche exclusive. We're sort of sponsoring it. It's not just about Porsches. It's about any car. We all love cars. That's why we go to Cars and Coffee. You can't have them all, so you got to go look at everybody else's.
Right.
And we're all just wanting to, just anybody, doesn't matter what it is. In fact, right out in my backyard right here right now, warming up, is my little Volkswagen Kirby.
Awesome.
And that's going to be going to Cars and Coffee this morning. So we don't care what you drive, or even if it's not a fancy car, you can bring a Chevy Malibu. We don't care. Anybody is welcome, any and all folks, and we'd be happy to see everybody turn out.
Well, and tell me a little bit about your love for Porsche. I know that you have a 914 as well, and of course, if you have a Herbie, you understand the similarity between and the synergy between Volkswagen and Porsche. But talk a little bit about your love for the Porsche Marquis.
Well, my first Porsche was that 914. It's a 73. I don't know. Some of the people might remember a bargain counter that used to be on the radio. And the guy had it advertised as 911 for $700. Turns out it was a 914. I got it probably, I don't know, it's been 20 years at least now. And it's been a journey, but it runs great. I have a lot of fun with it. You know, I got a couple other Porsches too, but Porsche is air-cooled, or they were up until about 99, 2000. And Volkswagens and Porsches are very much related. You know, that in fact, Volkswagen owns Porsche these days. So yep. They've got a lot of history. They go back a long way. And the concept was bigger isn't always better. In other words, the idea was to be small but fast and all that. And that's been the essence of Porsche since day one. Same thing with Volkswagens, really. But Porsche took it to another level.
Absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about Cars and Coffee. I mean, where it is and like some of the different types of cars that show up. We do have some listeners, I'm sure, that are familiar, but there are probably a couple that have never really heard of Cars and Coffee. Tell us a little bit about what that event is.
Well, there's a few Cars and Coffees around town. This particular one is on Jefferson, a little bit north of Paseo. There's a Starbucks right there in that sort of a shopping center, I guess. It's on the west side of the street of Jefferson, or the east side, I'm sorry. And all kinds of cars show up. It usually gets a pretty good turnout, you name it. It shows up. We get a lot of Porsches, of course. We get Corvettes. We get Lamborghinis. We get Mustangs. I mean, you know, you name it, it shows up. All kinds of different cars come to Cars and Coffee. Jaguars, just all kinds of unusual cars. It's just a variety that you can't really find anywhere else. And they're all driven there. That's the neat thing. They're not trailered in. They're actually driven.
Yeah, and I think it's more of kind of a meet, you know, than say traditional like car show where people show up and spend, you know, like hours, but people coming and going quite often with that. So for maybe the listeners that are just joining the program now, let's go over the particulars for next Saturday's cruise and car show for the Joy Junction.
Okay, so it'll be next Saturday. Leaving from Cars and Coffee, we're going to line up about 9:30, leave about 9:45 or so. The distance is 14 miles out to Joy Junction, so it's a little bit of a distance, not too far. And we'd like to invite everybody to come. I don't care what you're driving. Suggested items to bring are frozen turkey, cases of bottled water, any cans of food. Institution size is preferred, but if you got cans of beans in your cupboard, bring them. And, of course, backpacks with any kind of school supplies is what they're asking for. And, as always, tax-deductible contributions to Joy Junction are also welcome. Cash works.
Awesome. Well, hey, Mike.
If anybody's got any questions, they can call me directly. My phone number is, of course, 505-315-6456. 315-6456. And if anybody's got any questions or anybody's in the club that wants to come join us, that'd be great. We're calling it Fill Your Trunk and Help Someone. So we'd like to have everybody there. We put it out to the New Mexico Car Council. So a lot of you, if you belong to any kind of club at all, are probably starting to see this on Facebook and other places. So we hope this get a pretty good turnout. I hope we're not creating a monster. We might get... Wouldn't that be a shame?
Yeah, that would be terrible. Hopefully, I mean, Joy Junction does such a great job, and to be able to give back at this time of year, we all have so much, there's so many people that have so little.
You know, Joy Junction feeds about 300 homeless people a day, and believe it or not, there's only about 18 beds out there for single males. So we're talking about pretty much families that are out there. And it's a little bit different kind of a deal, but they don't take any federal money and all that. I mean, this is all, you know, people donating to them. They've maintained their independence, you know, right or wrong, but that's what they've done. And they've done it for, I don't know, I think this is their 30th year. So they've been out there for a long time and doing a great job.
Awesome. Well, hey, Mike, appreciate you coming on this morning and letting us know what all you got going on.
Well, David, thanks for having me, and I'll be seeing anybody that's listening to this out of Cars and Coffee in about 30 minutes.
Awesome. Thank you very much. That was Mike Suttle, president of the Porsche Car. Well, actually, I don't know if he's president, but very active member of the Porsche Club of America, and they got a great event going on next Saturday, starting at Cars and Coffee and then cruising over to Joy Junction. So help if you can. We've got a lot more coming up in the show. Jimmy Johnson survives a late race chaos and two restarts for his seventh championship. Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts is going to join the show on the other side, including Formula One is racing tomorrow. That's right. Formula One is still racing, and it's after Thanksgiving. They will crown a champion at Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Will it be Lewis Hamilton or Nico Rosberg? Tom McKeon, who's actually a producer for Mike and Mike, is a local Formula One expert out there at ESPN.com. He'll be joining us. And Robert Costa with Costa Racing had a great showing in Vegas in the Pro Mod last week. And that's right, not only does he run Albuquerque Dragway, but he represents in Pro Mod, went out and had a runner-up showing, and he'll be joining the show a little bit later. But appreciate you tuning in every Saturday. We got a whole lot more coming up. You listen to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope, ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Napa Auto Parts presents NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Know-How with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Chase, you know about the rookie sandwich tradition?
No. What's that?
Well, it's a long-standing custom where rookies make sandwiches for veteran teammates.
You want me to make you a sandwich?
Why, thank you, Chase. I'll have roast beef.
On marble, I guess, right?
No. On a regular plate will be just fine.
Tune in next time for more Napa Know-How with Chase and Dale Jr.
Every Sunday, Sandia Resort and Casino hosts the Sandia Super Tailgate. You can win the NFL flyaway trip for two, including two tickets, round-trip airfare, and accommodations. This Sunday, win an NFL trip to see the Rams host the Falcons. We'll see you this Sunday to watch all the great NFL games, including the Panthers-Raiders game. And don't forget, register to win the NFL flyaway between 2 and 5 p.m. The Sandia Super Tailgate. Every Sunday, it's your game. Win it at Sandia Resort and Casino.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides. With monthly full-color features, such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa stores in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Berlin, and even Socorro. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the Monthly Cover Car has made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today.
Marcello's Chop House, Albuquerque's favorite local steakhouse, is the perfect place for your upcoming holiday lunch, dinner, or party. We make planning your holiday party effortless. The holiday season is upon us. It's never too early to make your party plans now. Great chops, the finest steaks, and our award-winning wineless and waitstaff will make your holidays enjoyable, relaxing, and easy. Voted Albuquerque's favorite local steakhouse by Albuquerque in the magazine, there is no better place for your holiday parties. Marcello's Chop House in the ABQ Uptown Center, Albuquerque's favorite local steakhouse during the holidays.
Ron Peterson Firearms is the premier dealer in the Southwest for all types of firearms. Friday and Saturday, they will have the biggest firearm Black Friday sale anywhere. Sales include Rock Island 1911, only $419.68. Smith & Wesson Revolver Model 642-2, only $399.68. Remington Pistols RM380, only $359.68. Plus a $40 rebate if purchased on November 25th or 26th. Diamondback's AR-15, only $529.68. And the Taurus Pistol PT-111, only $269.68. Get 10% off all unadvertised items except new handguns. Ron Peterson Firearms, serving Albuquerque since 1968 with an incredible selection of new and used firearms. They have a large selection of customized weapons, holsters, scopes, replacement parts, aftermarket upgrades, and reloading equipment. Everything collectors and sportsmen need. This weekend, they will have the biggest firearm Black Friday sale anywhere. Their prices often beat any you will find at national retail chains and has a national reputation for paying highest prices for used antiques and modern firearms. So head on over to the biggest firearm Black Friday sale anywhere Friday from 9:30 to 6 and Saturday from 9:30 to 5. Ron Peterson Firearms at 4418 Central Avenue in the historic Nob Hill District. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Driveway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I'll give you a quick programming note. Coming up at 9 a.m., we got FM Sports Saturday, and then get ready at 10 a.m., we got Michigan versus Ohio State. It's going to be quite a battle. 5:30 South Carolina versus Clemson, Sunday morning 8 to 10 a.m. We got the Caliber Sportsman Show. 11 a.m. Rams versus Saints, and 2:30 we got the Panthers versus the Raiders. If you want to check out, you know, all the cool things that are going on around New Mexico, don't forget the New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine. It's New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine. You can pick up a free copy at any Napa store in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Las Lunas, Belen, and Socorro. Great columns, such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, the old time fun, and the monthly cover car. Find out why it's made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today. And actually, I don't know if you tuned in last week and saw all the great races. Of course, Johnny Sauter getting done on Friday, Daniel Suarez on Saturday, but then the Sprint Cup ended up with quite a race and quite an ending. So joining us now is Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts. How are you doing this morning, Dom?
Hey, good morning, David.
First, I'd like to send out a congratulations to your grandparents' 50th anniversary celebration going on later today. Thanksgiving was probably pretty great over at your house.
Oh, no, appreciate it. Yeah, we're really excited. We've been planning this for over a year, so we're happy to be throwing them a party tonight. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing a lot of people we haven't seen in a while.
That's fantastic. All right, well, let's talk about Sprint Cup race last week. When the thing got started, Jimmy Johnson got sent to the back. It was pretty hard to consider the fact that we were going to end the evening, you know, talking about Jimmy Johnson as seven-time champion. Talk a little bit about the synergy between Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson and the patience that it took to actually pull that thing off.
No, it's phenomenal the run they've been on the last 15, 16 years. And there was an article Jeske was citing earlier in the week of how Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, there was talk they were going to split them up through the summer. You guys remember there was such a stretch of runs there that Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson were having. They were not finishing inside the top 10. They were DNFing a lot of the races. And even at the start of the chase, there were a lot of miscues on pit road, different elements. There was talk that Johnson and Knaus were going to be split up. But for them to overcome that adversity last Sunday, to have some problem with the A post and have to start in the back, I knew Johnson was going to be staying in good shape because he got up to the top 15 within the first 20 laps. And to move up through a Sprint Cup field, he was making it look like Kyle Busch in an Xfinity race.
Yeah, it was quite a run there, and of course, you know, he seemed to make it towards the front, and then it couldn't get any further. Really dominant performance with Kyle Larson, you know, there to maybe, you know, upset the party. As it turned out, of course, the last three races have been decided, and the championship has been decided by winning at Homestead. With this format, do you think that that's something that we're going to continue to see, or eventually you're going to have somebody break up the party like Kyle Larson and actually get a victory in Homestead and kind of upset the party a little bit?
No, that's a great point. If you look at the last 3 years under this format, the driver who's led the most laps is somebody who's not been in the chase. That was Jeff Gordon in 2014. He had been knocked out and led over 130 laps in that race. Kyle Larson, the last 2 years, who has been dominant at Homestead, who's run really well in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, kind of go in there and almost shake up and spoil the party, as you said, and kind of shake things up. I think there's room for that, but I think it's just very fascinating under this format. The driver who has won the race has won the championship, and that truly shows the championship four really do come out when the time really does count.
Well, and we got to talk about the contact. We got to talk about the restart in which Joey Logano got into the back of Carl Edwards. One of the most surprising things to me is I wasn't surprised to see Carl jump out of the car. I was surprised to see him go over to the pit box. There's two things I had in my mind. One, I don't know how in the world that they let Carl walk over to the pit box like that because he didn't know what was going to happen. Number two, I was surprised at how, you know, he's basically, hey, you know, it's a racing incident. I mean, just go get him. I was blocking him. I don't know if that right there is the reason, the single reason why Carl Edwards is not going to win a championship is because, you know, he didn't go over there and knock the block off of somebody. Whether you want to, you know, agree or not agree that, you know, blocking is right. Joey could have lifted a little bit. He had, you know, the reason that Jimmy got in the position he did is because he stayed calm and he stayed up on the track. So I think that was a complete miscalculation. And I wonder what your thoughts are. You've been following racing from a little bit different perspective than I have. What are your thoughts on Carl Edwards, going over to the pit box and basically shaking everybody's hand?
You know what? I thought it was personally a class act move. He owned the mistake. He took full credit for it. Even in the post media interviews, he was just very sad for his team. But I think that took a lot of maturity, and I think that's the kind of person Carl Edwards is. He showed, okay, something like this happened. We were four laps away from possibly winning the title, winning my first Sprint Cup Series title, and he owned that mistake. And I'm sure he wasn't happy to do that. I'm sure that was a walk of shame walking pit lane to go up to the 22 pit box, but for me, I think that was a class act move and something you don't really see in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, a driver taking blame for something like that, especially with championship implications in that last race.
Considering the fact that the guy that basically put him into the wall is Joey Logano, if the shoe was on the other foot, would we have seen Joey Logano do anything close to that?
No, that's a very good question. I don't know if I can if I can speak for Logano on that, but I can probably guarantee you we would see a lot more fans cheering because we know Joey Logano has over the years built this reputation. They've used a lot of adjectives to describe Joey Logano, and I think we would have seen a lot of fans cheering because fans don't like the driver. But had it been the other way around, I'm not so sure we would have seen because Carl Edwards is such a class act. I'm not saying Joey Logano isn't, but the way Edwards conducts himself, he's been a veteran of the sport the last 12, 13 years. So I don't even know if you could even say there's a maturity difference there.
Okay. All right. So we got seven time now. He joined in, Dale Earnhardt Sr. and, of course, Richard Petty. So if this situation would have happened to Dale Earnhardt Sr., there's no doubt in my mind that there would have been some pushing and shoving and there would have been plenty of other things. I don't think that it would have happened. So the contrast there is, you know, the edge that it takes. I mean, with the nickname the Intimidator, is that a sign that, you know, Carl Edwards is just too nice a guy to win a championship?
No, that's a really good question. And this is a guy that had the closest NASCAR finish in history to lose a championship on a tiebreaker. And yep. I've often compared him to this generation's Mark Martin. The nice guy, everyone loves him, he's a veteran, and he's had plenty of close calls. He wins multiple races a year, but will we ever see him win that first championship? And on the flip side, we look at Jimmy Johnson with the seventh title in 11 years, which is a fascinating run, because Earnhardt and Petty both did it in about a 14 to 16 year span.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I'm gonna get off the Carl Edwards deal. But one of the things I want to come back to though is JGR. JGR went in, looked like the team to beat. They were dominant. Ends up Kyle Busch finishing third, Carl Edwards finishing fourth, and they end up actually third in the manufacturer with of course Hendrick and Penske. It's kind of hard to say how are they going to retool to get a championship, but how are they going to retool to get a championship?
It's a great question, and I think definitely their efforts at the beginning of the year shouldn't go unnoticed. They helped Toyota win the Manufacturers' Championship, their first Manufacturers' Championship in the Sprint Cup Series, but more importantly, they broke a 13-year streak Chevrolet had going for that, and The Joe Gibbs racing cars looked very strong, as you and I noted in Daytona. They looked great on the West Coast swing, and they really performed well at all the racetracks. I think it's just a matter of, it could come down to a pit stop or some sort of race strategy in one of the chase races to try and advance. Because we know next year, we can count all four Gibbs guys on being there in the chase. It's just a matter if they can advance the rounds and have the race strategy to do so. We're going to see laps led. We're going to see top five runs, and you can even throw Martin Truex into there because he is technically the fifth kiss car.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one thing that actually does kind of surprise me, just looking at the driver standings, 12th place finisher Brad Keselowski, 4 victories, 1 pole, 16 top fives, 22 top tens. Is that a sign that there's a problem with this format, or is that just the drama that's been created with this format? Because you've got people ahead of him, you know, with far less of a resume. I mean, Chase Elliott finishes 10th, and of course, I'm going to give him, you know, all the props that he wants as a rookie. But Brad Keselowski finishing behind Martin Truex, both with 4 victories, and just an incredible resume. I mean, either NASCAR, you know, has something really figured out, or maybe there's still some tweaks left. What is your thoughts on Truex and Keselowski finishing 11th and 12th?
Well, you bring up an excellent point. That was one of the things we actually talked about last week with our coverage. Just these guys are both top 10 in points the majority of the year, and it's a product of this race. Recall Jimmy Johnson finished 11th in points in 2014, which is unheard of. He was just coming off his 6th championship, and he was outside the top 10 in points last year, but because of a wreck in Homestead with Dale Earnhardt Jr., he moved into that top 10 bubble. It's fascinating to see how this chase format actually resets the points, and you see, like you said, guys with less top 10 finishes, guys with lower average finishes finish ahead of these guys. But I think one thing, too, and I want to bring this to your attention, Jamie McMurray, 13th in points.
Yeah.
Second year in a row they made the chase. But what's more fascinating is this driver made chase history, but not in the way you guys might be thinking. McMurray failed to lead a single lap all season, and he is the only chase driver in chase history to make the playoffs, not lead a single lap. And to finish that high in points, that is the highest the driver has finished in points since 1981 without leading a single lap.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Consider other Hendrick driver, Casey Kane, also didn't lead a lap this season. And
yeah,
we know that there's going to be some changes coming for the number 5. Hey, appreciate you joining the show this morning, Dom. Have a great celebration with your family later today.
Dave, thanks for having me on the show. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. That's Dominic Aragon. Check out his work over at theracingexperts.com. Of course, he co-hosts for me from time to time, but got some big plans for 2017, so we're going to see what kind of coverage we can get and bring you more in-depth coverage in NASCAR next year with our alliance with theracingexperts.com. All right, we got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to be talking some open wheel. That's right. Formula One is still racing, and it's after Thanksgiving. We're going to be joined by Tom McKeon, one of the producers for Mike and Mike, but he also has a love for Formula One on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Albuquerque 101.7, The Team.
Are you in the market for a new home purchase? If so, are you receiving lender credit to Premier Lender? Lender credits are simply this. The lender will help you pay your closing costs. As a mortgage broker, Indigo Mortgage can be paid by the lender, and if the rate chosen pays more than our fees, we must roll that extra money to you, the borrower. Banks and other lenders do not have to roll these credits to you. Indigo Mortgage can offer the same or better rates as that of banks and other lenders, but we can also add lender credits. This can save you thousands of dollars in closing costs. So when shopping for the best rate, make sure to ask if your lender offers lender credits. Call Indigo Mortgage and see if we can save you thousands of dollars in closing costs with lender credits. On the net at indigomortgage.net or call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
Hi, this is Nadine. Happy holidays from our family of award-winning restaurants. Mykonos Cafe, El Patron Restaurant, and Nick and Jimmy's Bar and Grill. Mykonos is in the Mountain Run Shopping Center where Eubank meets Wantabo. El Patron is at 10551 Montgomery Northeast, and Nick and Jimmy's is on the I-25 freeway west of Jefferson. For a truly special gift for your family or business associate, enjoy an extra 20% bonus on gift card purchases of $100 or more. The perfect way to please that special someone. We have party space for any celebration, large or small. We have a wonderful variety of menu selections to please you, and wine and spirits may be enjoyed as well. So please enjoy our family of fine restaurants for the holidays, from a nice family dinner or brunch to a wonderful large group gathering. Mykonos, El Patron, and Nick and Jimmy's are perfect. I promise you will be pleased for your holiday occasion. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Donut Mart, the spot for fresh and delicious donuts, bagels, muffins, coffee, and espresso-based drinks, now introduces the official Donut Mart app. Pull out your smartphone and download the Donut Mart app for your chance to win great stuff. Great deals, awesome rewards, and a weekly chance at scratchers to win Donut Mart stuff are just a click away on your smartphone. Earn rewards towards free coffee, lattes, breakfast sandwiches, their famous breakfast burritos, donuts, and more. Donut Mart, 5 locations with Wi-Fi. Pull out your smartphone and download the app today. Think local, support local, Donut Mart.
This is Lobo Coach Ray Birmingham. Take your business's conference room to the next level. Easy, wireless, with HD quality. Call Rick Siegel and Advanced Presentation Systems at 821-5515. The official audio-video partners for the Lobos.
You never know when your weekend recreation will become an unexpected bone and joint problem. When it does, UNM Sandoval Regional Medical Center can get you moving again. Surgeons, physical therapists, and imaging at our Rio Rancho location, where we put you and your health first.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.17. Hey, if you're a mechanic and you want to make a change, the Napa Auto Care Centers is looking for you. Join their great team with excellent pay and benefits. Napa Auto Care Center also has training and advancement opportunities. Napa Auto Centers are growing fast, and they're going to need you. Napa Auto Care Centers combines local ownership and genuine Napa Auto Parts, a powerful combination. Visit AutoCareNM.com and click on jobs for positions available or to question interview. That's AutoCareNM.com. All right, so joining the show now is Tom McKeon, producer for Mike and Mike. How you doing, man?
Hey, David, I'm great. How are you?
How was your Thanksgiving?
Great. It was really good. I'm lucky I got family right here in Connecticut, so I don't have to travel far. It was really nice. How about yours?
It was great. It was great. I got to ask you, though, is there like something local in Connecticut, you know, that it kind of add to your Thanksgiving feast? Because we put green chili on everything. So there's got to be... Yeah, absolutely. Green chili on turkey, man. You got to try it.
Oh, man, I've not even heard of that. Now, we're pretty boring up here. I mean, we talk about, you know, Mike and Mike, we had debates about whether stuffing wins out over dressing or things like that.
Right.
We're pretty traditional. We got dressing. We got all the basic stuff. I might have to mix it up with some green chili next year, though.
Yeah, I'll send you some. You have to give it a try, and let me know what you think. But I do got to ask you, okay, they got in the whole argument of that pie caking. And I just want to know, was there a pie caking on hand? They talked about that chocolate cherry pie caking. Did Goldberg actually eat one of those on the station earlier this week?
No, we'll bring Golic a lot of food. This is one we didn't bring, but I think he ate pretty well on Thanksgiving. There might have been a pie caking or two in the mix for him. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, my family's like, what in the heck are you talking about? And I'm like, next year we're having a pie cake in. I mean, if it's good enough for Mike and Mike, it's good enough for us.
I had not even heard of it until that morning, so I was with you.
Oh, well, I'll send you a picture. It's absolutely amazing. But can't believe that we still got Formula One going on. I mean, 21 races this season. 12-point differential right now. Lewis Hamilton on the pole for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Talk a little bit about what would need to go wrong for Lewis Hamilton to actually win this victory and win the championship over Nico Rosberg.
David, what's interesting about this track is it's got extreme visuals. It's really, really cool to watch. but it's really hard to pass here. Like we saw in 2010, Fernando Alonso was one of four drivers coming in with a chance to win the championship in this finale. He went into pit stop, came back out, was like mired in like fifth, sixth, seventh place, couldn't get by Vitaly Petrov, ended up losing the championship. And he was stuck behind Petrov for a ton of the race. It's just really, really tough to pass here. So for Hamilton to win this championship, he not only needs to win, he needs to have Rosberg not finish on the podium. Rosberg starting second looked really quick again this weekend. It's basically going to come down to not really the two of them, I don't think. It's whether the Ferrari or Red Bull can do anything to challenge Rosberg. And while you'd think that could be a possibility, I think the most likely guy to challenge Rosberg would be Verstappen, but he's starting sixth, so that's going to be a lot of ground to make up for him.
Well, and that was exact. I marked two guys that you need to be concerned with. Max Verstappen, his level of aggression. And once you hone that with his ability to pass clean, this kid is the future for Formula One. Daniel Kvyat is the other guy that is like he hits anything. I mean, he'd even hit the pace car if he could get close enough to it. Because that would be my concern is, if I'm Nico Rosberg, I just want to know where those two guys are. The rest of them, I think, can pass clean. When you look at the points, I mean, Daniel Ricciardo is solidly third. Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, of course, if he could make up 5 points, that would be tremendous to finish fifth. But when you look at it, there really is no other competition there that is going to have to be a mechanical, and that's very rare for Mercedes, or it's going to have to be contact with somebody. It's really going to come down to it. So I like your breakdown, and I wasn't actually quite aware of the lack of passing on this track, but what an impressive run Nico Rosberg has had.
It's been remarkable, especially because he had such a great start to the season, had a huge points lead. We were wondering whether Hamilton could make that up. He sure did. Hamilton ended up taking the lead during the summer, and at that point, boy, most of the fans, the odds makers sure believed that it was going to be Hamilton's championship to win. Rosberg took the lead again after the summer break. And then you'd speak of mechanical issues. I think that's honestly the biggest story, the biggest moment in this championship fight was the engine failure that Lewis Hamilton had in Malaysia. Hamilton, if you remember that race, Rosberg got out to an awful start. He was losing a ton of points to Hamilton in that race. Hamilton had checked out in Malaysia, and then all of a sudden, engine sputters coming over the line late in the race, something in the lap 40, 41, something like that, very close to the finish, and a huge point swing. Hamilton looked like he was going to take the championship points lead once again. Didn't. Rosberg gains ground and makes up a ton of points, and at that point, Hamilton couldn't recover. He finished, I think, third in Japan. And then even this great run now, it didn't matter so much if he won, because all Rosberg had to do was finish second in all of those races, which he's done.
Absolutely. And, and that's actually a sign of maturity on Nico Rosberg's side, is to stay focused and keep his eye on the fact that right now he's racing for himself for a championship, more than, necessarily Lewis Hamilton on the track. Let's talk a little bit about 2017. The cars are going to look different. Are the results going to look different?
Well, that's a really interesting question, for the fact that if you look at some of the big time rule changes in the off seasons recently, you look at 2009 off season, that changed the landscape completely with Braun GP taking advantage of the rear diffuser rules. Then you look at 2010, big time rule changes there. That's when the Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull era started. Then you look at 2014 when they introduced the V6 turbos, a big time rule change that let Mercedes pounce. So if Mercedes can still be on top after all these rule changes next year, where the cars have more downforce, have wider tires, they're going to be able to brake later, it's going to be very different. They're going to look really different. If Mercedes can be on top after that, I will be really impressed, because there's never been more of a level playing field in recent years, almost like a reset for a lot of these top teams like Red Bull, like Ferrari, to catch up to Mercedes. And we've seen them catch up a little bit this year, but there's still that gap, and maybe this will close it. I'd be very, very surprised if Mercedes looks utterly dominant at the start of next year like they did at the start of last couple of years, just because all the rule changes are in the favor of the teams trying to catch them.
And you know, on a different note, but you know, I mean, ownership is as far as the impact of Liberty Media and looking at, you know, bringing some more races to the United States is one of their main things. At what point do you think we're going to start to see that impact and maybe moving away from the Bernie Ecclestone era, if you will?
Yeah, it could be a kind of gentle transition, I'm thinking, but you look at opportunities on the schedule. So the German GP isn't happening next year. We're down to 20 races. Reports are that Malaysia isn't going to be happening after 2018, after their contract runs up. So if you're losing a couple races, you're naturally going to be wanting to fill those, and Liberty Media wants to kind of expand the series, as far as my understanding, to maybe even upwards of 25 races. To, you know, the idea of Las Vegas hosting a race again is coming to play, which would be hopefully better than the early 80s ones, which were marred with issues like the heat and the deteriorating track and the fact that it was, you know, running a parking lot, which is generally frowned upon. So we'll see, but I think that's hugely promising for this sport. I think I'd be surprised if it was a very fast transition. You have, you know, a ton of Grand Prix under contract for X number of years, so if you're adding races, or if you're adding different venues, a lot of times you're adding an actual race to the schedule rather than replacing something. But like I said, there's a couple opportunities where races are going away where you could replace them.
Well, and I think that really one of the main things that they have to do to make a shift in, you know, in mindset really is to start to realize that the track promoters and the tracks are in business with Formula One. Instead of Formula One, you know, taking advantage of, you know, the fact that they control all of the money, and the tracks basically can't afford to host a race. I mean, if you want to expand, you can look at the NASCAR model a little bit, where you've got, you know, more in T-shirt sales and, you know, and controlling basically the logo and the image, and whether they want to grow that. I mean, the biggest market, you know, consumer market in the world is the United States. And the United States is still, you know, I mean, what, you know, like 10%, 15%, you know, even follow, you know, Formula One, if it's even that high. I mean, there's got to be a big, you know, bucket of cash sitting over here that is the United States for Formula One. They've got to figure out how to tap into it.
No doubt about it. And while the schedule for 2017 isn't too thrilling, the only really change is kind of Bahrain and China switching dates in the first three races of the year. There's a couple other things like I'm really excited about for 2017. I mean, you think about Lewis Hamilton right now in terms of wins. He passed Alain Prost. He could catch Schumacher. I mean, think about this for a second. Hamilton is 31 years old, has 52 wins. Schumacher, through age 31, had 44. Now, this is when Schumacher started going on that huge run, 2001, basically 2001 at age 32 all the way through 2004. But Hamilton's win percentage is really, really close. I think he could do it if he stays with the top teams and gives himself a chance to win. It'd be tough, though. He's got to win, you know, 9 or 10 on average for the next bunch of seasons. But that's one, like, he's gonna pass Schumacher in total poles next year, probably. So I mean, there's just some history going down next year.
Wow, a lot to look forward to for next year. Hey, Tom, really appreciate you coming on, and hope you have a great Christmas if we don't get you on before, but definitely looking forward to talking to Formula One 2017.
Hey, you too, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. Tom McKeon, one of the producers for Mike and Mike, joining the show. Of course, you know, longtime Formula One fan, and still's got his passion for Formula One. So we're going to do everything we can to keep bringing you great stories on Formula One and keep that open wheel love going. But coming up on the other side, we're going to be talking Pro Mod racing. That's right. Costa Racing's Robert Costa is going to be joining the show. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Sloat of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Visitors to the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science can come face-to-face with Stan, the largest predatory dinosaur of all time. You and your family can also spend time in the Naturalist Center, where visitors can learn about the natural world of New Mexico, interact with microscopes, native animals, and even touch specimens and much more. It all awaits you for your exploration. For more information on the museum, visit nmnaturalhistory.org. That's nmnaturalhistory.org.
Napa Auto Parts presents NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Know-How with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Chase, it's time to take your social media game to the next level.
Like how?
For example, I just asked what your rookie nickname should be and got 400 responses.
Let me see that. Outer Space Chase? High Speed Chase? Sparky?
Isn't the internet a beautiful thing, Sparky?
Tune in next time for more Napa Know-How with Chase and Dale Jr.
This Thanksgiving, the Ranchers Club and the Crown Plaza have you covered. The Crown Plaza will be hosting a Thanksgiving Day Champagne Brunch Buffet from 10:30 to 2 in the New Mexico Ballroom and a full special Thanksgiving Day menu in the Ranchers Club from 11:30 to 7. For reservations, call 998-6410.
Casa de Benavides for authentic and delicious New Mexican food like homemade enchiladas, tacos, tamales, and more. Made with delicious house-made green or red chili and Albuquerque the Magazine's top 5 restaurant with a full bar. It's Casa de Benavides, one block south of Paseo on 4th Street.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been a staple in the Southwest hot rod scene. Yearwood Performance is the expert, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories. Everything you need all in one place. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance. 341 Eubank just south of I-40 and 9674 Eagle Ranch Road across from Costco on the west side. Buy local, save time and money. Yearwoodperformance.com.
Want a chance to spin for $1 million? Then don't miss Spin a Million at Sandia Resort and Casino, Saturday, November 26th and December 3rd. Just use your Peak Rewards card at your favorite slot or table game, and you're automatically entered to win a chance to spin for $1 million. There's drawings every 30 minutes from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. So don't miss your chance to spin for $1 million. The hottest games, the biggest prizes, at your first resort for winning. Sandia Resort and Casino, I-25 and Tramway.
Tis the season for giving with brand new gifts from Edible Arrangements. New gift baskets. There is something for everyone. Whole fruit, chocolate-dipped arrangements, gourmet Belgian chocolate pops. It's all there, perfect for parties and the perfect business gift for everyone in the office. Really satisfy their sweet tooth with Edible Signature Chocolates created by chocolatier Jacques Torres. Treat yourself, too. Stop in for a nut lover smoothies or fruit parfaits with Italian pistachio. Yum. Edible Arrangements. 4770 Montgomery, behind Rockin' Brew. Fresh fruit treats and more. Edible Arrangements. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
Hey, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Hey, coming up on deck, FM Sports Saturday, 10 a.m. We got Michigan versus Ohio State. At 3 p.m., New Mexico State versus San Diego. You know, I think I missed that one earlier when I did that because I don't know if it was not there. But anyway, 3 p.m., tune in to New Mexico State Aggies versus San Diego. 5:30, Southern California versus Clemson. Tomorrow, 8 to 10, Caliber Sportsman Show. 11 a.m., we got the Rams versus the Saints. 2:30, got the Panthers versus the Raiders. And, of course, hey, you know, it's not too early to start thinking about the 2017 racing season or even getting more performance out of your car on the street. And, of course, since 1968, your performance has been getting it done, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it, fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges, accessory, Torco racing fuel ready to go in safe containers. 9674 Eagle Ranch Road on the west side or 341 Eubank. Buy local, save time and money, yearwoodperformance.com. And joining the show now is Robert Costa. How you doing this morning, Robert?
Well, not too bad for a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially after Thanksgiving, you probably have a racing hangover, two, you know, a turkey hangover. But, I mean, it's only appropriate to talk about Yearwood Performance. We got a bunch of Yearwood parts in the car, and you went up to Vegas and represented for Albuquerque. What was that experience like going up there and just showing them we could get it done too?
You know, there's Albuquerque had a very good showing there. There were a number of racers, probably more than a dozen racers that went up there. We weren't the only ones who did well. We had Mike Keenan, who represented well in Radio Versus the World. I know that Trey Booth and Craig Strangefellow did real well in Outlaw 8-5. But, you know, New Mexico was on the map, you know. Kind of funny, there were a lot of Canadians there and, and a, you know, a few New Mexicans. So
that's fascinating. We wonder what the, I mean, I thought everybody was moving to Canada after the election. So now we have all the Canadians down here. Maybe that's an offset. But talk about maybe some of the adjustments you got to make. Changing, you know, from the Albuquerque track to the Vegas track.
Well, the first big change that we made was we actually ran a class that the tires are half the size of what we normally run on. We normally run on a 17-inch slick. This weekend we're running on a 10.5-inch slick.
Wow!
So it doesn't drive any differently, but you have to launch the car differently.
So
we did that. We make a suspension change. You make some subtle tuning changes. You know, the air is a lot lower there. You know, we were looking at about a adjusted altitude of 3,000 feet. Where here we have adjusted altitude of about 8,000 to 9,000 feet.
Wow!
So you got to give it more fuel because you know with more air you can put more fuel to it and make more power.
Wow! I mean, turn to 403 with that smaller tire.
Yeah, we actually we qualified second with a 409. We got runner up and we set low ET in the semifinals 403 to 184.
Wow. Wow, and I know you were disappointed with the second place finish because you felt like you had him. But talk a little bit about, I mean, the team's effort and everything it took to make it to that final round.
You know, the starting last year in 2015 was the first year for this team that I've assembled. Local funny car driver Sean Jones, very good friend of mine, he's come on board to help with some tuning and brings a lot to the table. Brings a different mentality of racing, than what we've had in the past. That's worked well. I use Cletus Riedel of Riedel's Customs. He's a great worker. You know, keeps up a great attitude in the pits.
Right.
And then for this particular race, I took the local track manager Jim Riedel, to Vegas as well.
Awesome.
And, he's a former crew member of some fast cars, and he brings a little bit as well. So. But it was, you know, it's a good crew. We've had a great year. We went to 7 races, and in 6 out of 7 we set low ET.
Wow.
Of 6 out of 7, so we had the car to beat all year. Just kind of had some bad luck, you know, at different times. Had a couple of very small part failures, like bolts.
Wow. We're
not talking about big parts, just little parts. So we had a few small parts failures. And, didn't finish a couple of races because of that. But, like I said, just about every race we went to, we were the car to beat.
Wow. And so going into 2017, it looks like you just got to kind of keep digging. I mean, it sounds like you got most of the major, you know, parts together there. What might you be looking for to be a little bit different going into next season?
Well, the car might get a little bit of a makeover. You know, so, you know, it's a bit of a surprise for those that don't know. They'll see it next year. But, we're going to go through everything, make sure that everything is top notch, everything's working well. We'll go through the engine, the transmission, the rear end, and just kind of make sure that everything looks good.
So you're going to be looking for a bolt sponsor then? I mean, having a little bit of trouble with a couple of bolts?
Yeah, I'd love to have a bolt sponsor. So you don't realize how much bolts cost until you go to buy them.
Right, absolutely. Talk a little bit about, I mean, what's really cool is that you get out and get to have fun with it too. I mean, in addition, I mean, you've got the responsibility of keeping ABQ Dragway going and done a tremendous job with that. Any changes that you're looking at with the track going into 2017 here?
We have a few things up our sleeve, you know, a couple of things that we're working on, We've actually been working on our schedule for about 2 months now.
Okay.
Trying to put the finishing touches on it. And we, you know, of course, don't quite have everything together, trying to make sure that we don't step on any toes for any larger tracks in the area, trying to make sure that, you know, we don't book on the same dates and split that racer pool.
Well, you've got some events that I'm sure that the consistency that, you know, they don't want to build on your dates either. I mean, you know, when you're talking about, you know, Costa Memorial Day and the 4th of July, you know, Firecracker Nationals race, and of course, you know, a couple of really good ones with the Hot Rod Rumble and of course the All Out Call Out. Are we looking to see all of those events back for 2017?
Absolutely. We're trying to build on some of those as well. There are some rumors that the All Out Call Out guys are going to put on a second event.
Oh my.
We're just trying to figure out what exactly that second event is going to be.
Awesome.
We're also bringing back the truck event that we did.
Excellent.
You know, all pickup trucks and Jeeps and four wheel drives and stuff like that. They had a fantastic showing, this year. And, you know, they want to build on that as well. The Hot Rod Rumble, I believe the date's going to move a little bit, but, you know, it's going to be a neat event as well.
Awesome. Hey, Robert, I appreciate you coming in this morning.
Not a problem. Just want to thank ESPN Radio for coming out, Albuquerque Dragway, Yearwood Performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll be back for 2017 with a vengeance.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up another New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us again next week where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.